It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Strike here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here on Liberty News Radio from Phoenix, Arizona, here in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. And my wife got on my butt yesterday. I was listening to the Heidi Byrick Southern Poverty Law Center interview I did the first hour yesterday. I wanted to, you know, listen to it just for my own entertainment, because I don't get to listen to shows as I'm doing them. I'm just, you know, but I just like, oh, I want to get some good on that one. So we're just sitting there relaxing, doing some other stuff. I'm listening, and I do that. B-E-A, beautiful. And she goes, why do you always do that? And I go, because that's how I learned how to spell it. Spell beautiful. Now, you know, B-U-B-U-A-B-U. I kept messing it up, you know, until one time, you know, it was Ace Ventura show, or it was something with Jim Carrey was in the beautiful. And, you know, from that point on, I knew how to spell it. And I'm just sharing that technique with you because I love you. Now, you know how to spell beautiful, in case you didn't know how. There are some people even more less educated than me. But one of those people is not Mark Stevens. We got Mark Stevens in studio. You know, Mark Stevens, Adventures in Legal Land. Now, you go to Mark, M-A-R-C, Stevens.net, right? M-A-R-C, Stevens.net. And you'll have all the goodies and links to Mark Stevens. Now, Mark Stevens and I go way back. When I first started doing radio back in 03, he was one of my first guests. And the download archives, man, he was one of the most popular downloads. Everybody wanted to know what Mark Stevens had to say. I'm not even really sure why. You know, I'm like, they're playing in the court system still? What was up with that? You know, I'm just, you know, and then when I saw him up at Porkfest, and I knew he was up there speaking, I had to go up and check, you know, some of the wire connections and so on for doing the show later. And he had the TV room up there and had a crowd, and he's giving them what for, and videotaping and everything. And I'm going, oh, Mark, you've been hitting the gym, man. You party. I go, you're looking good. Looking good. Maybe a little bit of salt and pepper in the hair, but man, you won. Man, you held up nice. How you been, man?
I've been doing great. Great to be back.
You know, well, the one thing that I want to make sure that we do is that we get into what Adventures in Legal Land was. You wrote the book. We had you on the show. You have your own radio podcast and radio shows that you've done and been a guest on a lot of things. You have a lot of people that go to your classes, and they are enamored. They go, wow, Ernie, you know Mark Stevens? You know how many times I hear that? You know, you should get Mark Stevens. Yeah, I know Mark. You know Mark? Oh, my goodness, man. You got your own roadies, man. What's up with that?
Well, I get the same thing. Yeah, you know Ernie?
You just keep talking, man. I'm going to go ahead and turn your mic down a little bit. Go ahead and tell us about Adventures in Legal Land, where that came from.
Well, I want to thank you again for having me on. I know I drove to the studio back in Scottsdale when you first started. That was a great boost to what I was doing, and I always appreciated that. And when I started doing my own show, you were my very first guest there, and when I switched networks, you were again the first guest, so I did always appreciate that. But Adventures of Legal Land came from, I used to help people here in the Valley, and it just came out of writing scripts for people. I'd have people go, not just in the Valley, but I'd have people go in California and whatnot, so I wrote these scripts. You know, that's the quickest, easiest way to get out of here. What's the quickest way to get this thing thrown out in the least amount of steps?
You know, and you had an impact enough with enough people. I mean, you walk in, an old friend, John Wilson.
Yeah.
You know, he's going, hey, oh, you're on the show today? Cool. You know, John's been big help, you know, for a long time. And you guys, how did you guys know each other?
I knew him from way back in the Citizens Research Group. And I used to attend, and then I started teaching a class once a week. So that's how I knew John. And I was teaching court procedure and helping people deal with bureaucratic attacks. And so my thing was, well, how do we, you know, because it's damage control. Bureaucrat enters your life, boy, you're going to be damaged, and we got to minimize that. It's silly to think you can win and walk away more, or at least whole. And so that's where the scripts came from when I was teaching classes and whatnot, and people were going to court, and from my own clients I was working with, if you didn't understand why you were asking certain questions, they could tell. I mean, you're sitting there with a script, you're reading it. So the judge would take advantage of that, especially these petty little tyrants in traffic court, and you know, they play, you know, they'd start yelling or threatening contempt or whatnot, and people would not do nearly as well. They'd crash and burn. So the book came from explaining why I was asking those questions. Why is it so effective to ask a judge, hey, who do you represent? And also why it's more effective to ask a couple setup questions than just going in and asking him a question like that, because he doesn't even know the context. So it's going to be a little more difficult, well, a little more difficult to box him into a corner because you haven't built a context. So that's where the book grew. So you understand why you're asking a judge who he represents.
I know who he represents. He represents his paycheck. That's what he represents. Oh, you know, well, the thing that it had enough, I tell you this, okay? You started this, what years? Late 90s or something? When did you start doing this?
I started doing legal consultation, helping people in court in 97.
Okay, now this is the one thing that I give a chronology on this. From 97 to 2003, first half of 2003, when you and I first started doing radio and stuff together, that's 6 years, okay? I mean, you got enough experience, time. What year did you write the book?
I wrote the book in late 2002.
Okay, so the book has kind of a summation of all of this effort and work and so on and experience, and you put it in, and people, you know, were very helped by a lot of this stuff. They had, you know, a lot of people, they're big Mark Stevens fans, okay? But when you do this, it works. I've seen all this stuff working. All the Patriots coming in, the Freeman guys do this, the French flag guyers. I mean, all this stuff works right up until it doesn't work. And they come in, they get creative. They got special judges now. They got Mark Stevens judges, okay? They're going in, oh, you're one of those guys. Well, we're going to put this over to this judge. And he comes in, they go, oh, yeah, you're confusing us with someone who cares. You know, bam, gavel, go away. Because I've seen this happen over the period of the last 20 years. It'll work. I mean, you get away with some really funky-duty stuff, and then they just go, yeah, we can't. The peasants are starting to, you know, spread this like a virus. They're learning all this stuff. They're doing it. So we're just going to cut them off at the knees by fill in the blank. So I'm going, okay, I can see where this goes. So what has happened from the time that you and I have talked in 2003, and we've done other shows since then and so on, but I mean, from that time, from the time that you did the book in 2002, how much has still worked or doesn't work, or they are ready for you or whatever? What kind of success rate are you getting now? Is it going down? Is it going up? What's happening?
It's actually gone up quite a bit. And what's happening is, and I want people to understand that it's about damage control. It's not do this and it'll get thrown out. A lot does get thrown out. And I think more, they're getting more familiar with it. They don't want people to be infected with this with the information, how to challenge them appropriately. So what's been happening, and I don't work with just one or two people here and there. I work with people all over the North America, Australia, and New Zealand and whatnot. And we have a 75% pattern that's developed. That 75% of the time, the motion template that I have, if it's filed, the police officer doesn't show up.
Why? And,
well, I can only speculate because, and this is something I go through and I'm big on in my show, bring a cell phone with you so you can see the cop. People have seen the cops in the court, but not showing up for their hearing. I think it's because they don't want to get into the issues. It's an easy way out. Look, nobody has to hear what Mark or his, you know, his customers, you know, listeners have to say. The cop's not here. It's an easy way out.
So it's just a way of we don't want to play.
And we don't want to play.
Okay, what is the first the thing that's got the cops all worried? You're asking him certain questions he just doesn't want to answer?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily even the cop. I think it has to do with the fact that he's not under subpoena or he's told not to appear, but I can't prove that. So if we go on a speculation that it is the cop, because we always send a copy to the cop, because a lot of times it's just the cop. You don't have a prosecutor. I think it's because they don't want to get into these issues.
Yeah, it's called the judge.
Well, yeah, they're not going to usually openly admit that he's the persecutor.
No, I mean, you go. I interject this. I have Mark Victor. You know Mark Victor.
Yes.
Okay, criminal defense attorney, and so on. You know, goes up against whatever. We have a big case, and you'll ask him, and I'll say, "Hey, Mark, who's the prosecutor?" And he names the prosecutor and judge so and so. And I go, "The judge." He goes, "What are you kidding me? Of course they're the prosecutor. You think they're a team. You know, it's not like he's adjudicating. I'm the disinterested third party. I got the state versus me." He goes, "Anything that I need that comes into evidence, you know, I introduced, I need this evidence. No, it's denied. The state, if it benefits the state, oh, yeah, absolutely." He goes, this is how stacked this thing is. They come in, they even ask more dire questions on jury things. They'll ask, "Do you think that police officers tell the truth?" No, not always. Boom, you're excused. Thank you. You know, they need to get people in there. If the cop says it, that's the truth. Well, what if you know it's not? From experience. Sure as heck, if you're a criminal defense attorney, you find it all the time. Oh, but you're going to need some help getting out of the tornado. The little Tasmanian devil has got you. Who's going to help you with that? Mark Stevens. MarkStevens.net. You be right there. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Lunatic fringe out there. It's in here. We got Mark Stevens in here, Adventures in Legal Land. You know, Adventures in Legal Land. I mean, that's how'd you come up with that title?
Well, not too original, Ernie. Of course, that's from from Alice in Wonderland. That the whole thing when you enter Legal Land, it's the land of opinions and public relations propaganda. It's when you start talking about constitutions and law, and when you go into court, that you're a subject or you're a citizen and all that crap. So it was just a play on that.
Very good play. I mean, because that's exactly what it is. It's a game. So the one thing, yes, one thing I talked to Mark Victor, and he says, I go, "Well, what is it that, is there a secret you have? I mean, why am I paying you a gazillion dollars? I go get Mark Stevens, you know?" And he goes, and he says like this, he goes, "I tell you, Ernie, it's getting worse. It's bad. It's real. I mean, good, honest, decent, loving, caring, next door neighbor, watch your kids, people are irreparably harmed by the state because they just can. And God forbid you not show them enough servitude and respect their authority and grovel enough, and they'll just do it just because they can. I mean, I've seen it happen. People, they just, you know, extra years and pain and maximum security, you know, whatever they can because you're one of them, okay? And I know a lot of your guys, man, they're definitely them. So they go, so they say, you know, we're going to, you know, give you what for. And he goes, you know, the best that I can do is a lot of times he gives a word picture of the Tasmanian devil in the Bugs Bunny cartoons, you know, just this little tornado spinning around. And he goes, sometimes I can go up and sneak in, and I got the right, and I go and I reach in, and I snatch him out of it, and then, whew, got that. And then, of course, mitigating the damages, you know, get the plea down. So because what they do is they charge stupid stuff. You know, oh, I'm sorry, you had some marijuana. Oh, and some paraphernalia. It was in a plastic bag. Oh, and the car that it was in is paraphernalia, too. And we're seizing that. And we're going to charge you with this in 20 years and everything. Or you can plead guilty and you can do, you know, 6 months or something like that. Well, what's the, you know, here's how do you weigh that? You know, so this is the kinds of stuff. It's just, it's so bad that it almost, you're at the point, you're not going to fix it. You want it to be really bad, so it'll go away. You want to, what was it? I think it was Franklin or Jefferson that said, one of the founders, he goes, you want to get rid of a bad law? Strictly enforce it. And that's what's happening. They're strictly enforcing everything, and they're going to go away. But in the meantime, I got some kind of neighborhood zoning and enforcement traffic. I got speed camera radar. I'm, you know, my neighbor said, and now it's quit it, something. I'm going to court. I don't have an attorney. I don't have money. I'm going, you know, I'm threatened with all kinds of death and damnation. And I'm calling Mark Stevens, save me. And what's your typical case that they're calling you about?
Most likely it's going to be traffic. That's what I deal with, traffic and then taxes. That's probably 90% of what I help people with, taxes and traffic, which is all taxes. I do have been picking up more drug cases, more drug possession, and that's one thing. I don't advocate the use of drugs, but, you know, it's someone's business, their business. You don't kill people and throw them in a cage for smoking a joint. So it's very satisfying to me when we get drug tickets thrown out, complaints. That's great. I had someone call me on air to tell me that they had withdrawn the possession charge against him, which is, to me, it's fantastic.
Well, using what method?
Well, he filed a motion template that I had that I have available on my website.
And Mark Stevens with a C, markstevens.net. He has templates. What's it under? I mean, if I go look there, what am I looking for?
You're going to go under markstevens.net/store.
Okay, store. Well, you got a store link at the top there. So, yeah. Okay, I go store, and also I'm buying it. Oh, yeah, he's not giving it away.
Well,
okay.
It's only $25, which helps support and allow me to continue doing the show.
That's right. Gosh darn it, he must be libertarian. Okay, so he's doing this, add to cart, $25, get the motion to this and a motion to that and emotions and motions. Man, he makes some money doing motions. Okay, so he has this template he gets. He goes, man, I'm desperate. I need help. I can't afford a gazillion dollars. $25 is a heck of a lot cheaper than $25,000. So I'm going out, and you think I'm kidding. I mean, it's easy minimum. I'm going to talk to you at $2,500 just to go down there, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Guys, you know, Mark, you have a criminal citation against you for drugs, something like that. I think Mark is at least, he doesn't even talk to you for less than $20,000. He's going to do anything, God forbid, he have to go to court. I mean, this is big bucks. And I know he's done a lot of this stuff, and what he does is he's got all these templates like you do sitting over there. And he goes, yeah, I spent a bunch of time on that one once. So he got your template, and he goes in there. What does it say?
Well, he also did, I did an hour's worth of consultation with him on the phone, so I still do phone consultation.
Okay.
So that he knew a little bit, you know, a little bit more. And, you know, I have a lot of stuff on the archives for the radio show, so it's not that there's no support. And we also have a great forum that people are more than willing to help also if you have questions. And,
cool.
And also calling my show, the No State Project, we help people there also.
Oh, yeah, No State Project. We'll get to that. Don't even forget. All right.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So after the consultation, he had gone in, he had filed a motion, and the prosecutor wanted to speak with him. And the prosecutor decided that it was better to withdraw the charges than to actually argue that he had a case in, you know, pled in his complaint, which in a drug situation, they never plead an actual case. See, people confuse case with complaint. Not the same thing. Now, the prosecutors and the judge, they want you to believe they're the same thing. Because if you believe that and you don't challenge that, well, it's like prosecuting you without showing a probable cause, which is something they do all the time also. If they actually have to prove prior to an arraignment that there's a case, well, they'll lose every time.
Really? Explain that to me.
A case is a very specific legal thing. Well, there's three general aspects of it. And you go into the old Latin, injuria et damnum, which is the injury and damage. They also add to it redressability. And that means that the court has to have some kind of power or authority to correct the injury. And the injury is the violation of a legal right. The damage is what is the loss of harm from that. And that's the general. You've got to have all three to be able to have a case or a cause of action.
Well, if there's so your argument is that you're sitting there smoking a joint, you're not, there's no case because you're not harming anybody.
Well, right. They haven't pled a case. And Arizona is very, very specific. Article 2, Section 2 of the Arizona Constitution, just like with the Declaration of Independence, that the government was established to protect and maintain individual rights. So they have to plead the violation of a legal right in order to have a case, which, of course, they're not doing in a drug situation.
You know what's interesting about Arizona State Constitution? It rocks. It's pretty good compared to most.
Yeah.
You know, it's very cool because we were one of the last states to come into the Union, had 100-and-something years of fine-tuning. And I know what you're talking about. It's Article 2, Section 1 or 2 or something that says the purpose of government, defend individual rights. And then you go down to, like, number 32 or something, Section 32, and it says, oh, and in case you forgot, go see Section 2. You know, and I go, hey, you know, very cool. I like these guys. So this is interesting. They go in there, they use your template, and the prosecutor's like, you know, I don't need the hassle. I know where this is going. I'm just, you know, next, basically.
That's what, and I think that it's a way of saving face. They don't have to expose their so-called law, their public relations. They don't have to subject other people to that who will start asking questions. Because I've been in court, and I've been at the clerk of the court where we've gotten things thrown out with just the motion, and other people see this, so they don't want to take that. So it's a way of saving face. It's a way of just saying, the cop in this particular situation or the prosecutor just didn't plead, you know, and write a very good complaint. So it's a way. We'll throw this out.
Yeah, I got other people that'll cooperate more.
They've got 100 more people that are going to cooperate. Why are you going to spend time with me? And I want to just put out, Ernie, people will say, well, the cop's going to make a heck of a lot more money out on the street giving tickets that day than arguing for an hour with you. That's not the case, because they have a day or a morning set aside just for court. They don't just go on the street and come back and forth in and out, you know, all day going to court. They have a certain day that's set aside. And we've had people, and I've done this myself, everyone who's been to court can probably tell you this, we've gone and we've seen the cops there. Just what we need is people to take their cell phones and get a picture of them so that we have some evidence to show the cop is there for his other trials. He's just not there for ours. I've got to have that evidence so I can get on the radio and not just speculate.
You know, we're going to talk about it more and see where this goes. What's the government going to do if they start getting clogged up with a bunch of Mark Stevens? You know, they're going to, what are we going to do? We'll just shut them down. Shut them down. Maybe. We'll talk about it. You stay right there.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Oh! Is he coming? You know he's coming. There's always the man coming around. He's reaching down, man. He's going to go. You know, I want to make sure that you give a reasonable expectation to the audience of what they can expect using your techniques. What is it they're really looking for? I mean, a lot of times you get, you know, dismissals and people say, you know, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture to, you know, continue this and just go away. Or is it they're going, wow, they slap themselves on the forehead like they, you know, could have had a V8, and they say, oh, well, as long as you explained it that way, you know, thanks for the educational, you may go along your merry way, kind sir. I mean, do they really care what the law says?
No, you know that. They it's just like you say, why do they do it? Because they can.
That's right.
But, you know, like I point out in the book, though, there are two ways they do business, and these are the facts. They do business at the barrel of a gun. Taxation is compulsory. We get that. But they also put themselves out as benevolent protectors of life, liberty, and property. Now, to normal, rational people, that's a contradiction. So all I do is make them sacrifice one of them. I tear apart the perception of legitimacy. They want to make it look good still. That's what they do. It's a dog and pony show. And so what I do and what I teach people to do is to tear apart the perception of legitimacy. It's like I've told them, you're going to find me guilty. But it's going to be the most difficult fine you've ever imposed in your career. 30 years from now, you're going to remember Mark Stevens.
Oh, and you know, that legitimacy, this is, I want to share this with people. In 1994, okay, I'm a young guy, I'm just getting really involved, I'm Maricopa County Chairman of the Libertarian Party, we're running for office, and there was an exchange between a gentleman named Mark out in the East Valley here. He's talking about the Constitution and how we're going to, and we have to, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, you know, that obviously is not, that's not how they're operating. They're not being constitutional, they don't care, you know. So I understood this way back then as a young man. I'm in, I don't know, probably early 30s back then. And I wrote this article. Well, I didn't really. It was a response to his email. And there was somebody on that list that took that, and they made an article out of it called The Legitimacy of Government. I forgot all about it. It was years later that this article that was made out of the exchange with us on this email list, on a right to keep and bear arms list or something, started coming back to me. You know, you do a Google search, you know, Google alert or something on your name. All of a sudden, here this article keeps coming back. I put in Legitimacy of Government, Ernest Hancock. You do a Google search on that, and there it is, Legitimacy of Government. And the whole argument that I was making is that scientists and mathematicians and people that, you know, deal in facts and everything, they don't need legitimacy. I mean, they're, you know, you don't need them to do it. I mean, but the government, Oh, they go through all kinds of gymnastics to get legitimacy for what they're doing to you. And the whole promise that was made was that we are going to, you need a government. Thomas Jefferson, Declaration of Independence, declare your independence with Thomas Jefferson. And he goes like this. He says, the whole purpose of government is the defense of individual rights. If they're not doing that, well, that's your right, your duty to alter or abolish. Okay? I mean, that's the whole point. That's why they're there. If they're not doing that, guess what? They shouldn't be there. This, how complicated is this? All right? So I'm going, if that's not what they're doing, then they're not legitimate. So you can blah, blah, blah all you want and talk about the social contract that I never signed, okay? You know, that, you know, that it's beholden to me to, you know, let them be there, but there's no limits on them. You say Congress shall make no law and you got this Bill of Rights thing, but they go, yeah, but we, you know, just a GD piece of paper. Now we do what the heck we want. So I'm going, at what point does this contract that I never signed become null and void? When does that happen? So what you're doing is you're going, oh, this legitimacy thing, they don't have any, okay? Because they continue to violate their justification for their existence. So this is where you and I have always been kind of on the same page from the early days on. I could see what you were doing. It wasn't just that you're, you know, battling on their ground with their, you know, you're using their sports field, you know, and their ball and their referees and their sports casters and their everything, you know, and I'm the peanut vendor in the stands making fun of them wearing my rainbow afro hat, you know, or whatever, going, you know, what the heck are we, or outside, you know, as they're going in or coming out, passing out DVDs and flyers, but you're on the field, okay? Mark is out there on the field for the audience going, I don't know, are these guys legitimate? Come on, man. Let's, you know, do you think? Very powerful thing to do. I understood this back in, I read this from 94. I'm a young man doing this, just getting in there. I'm going, I get it, man. These guys are so, it's all about attacking their legitimacy. How many minds can we free? And if you can do it on stage inside the courtroom, you know, that's a good place to do it. So what is your ultimate goal? You accomplish this, then what?
Well, obviously to get to a voluntary society. And I'm not saying for a moment that having a few traffic tickets thrown out or even a few drug cases or tax cases is going to help anything get towards a voluntary site. It's a little bit. But you, when you meet them on their field, like you said, I acknowledge and I teach people at the workshops, which you were there for the last little bit at Porkfest, the judge is the only acknowledged legal expert in that room. And if you fight that, it's a losing battle. And so it's very powerful for the people who are watching, who may not like me at all, but it's very powerful for them to see him start to contradict himself. And where you take a otherwise calm, rational adult male or female, who goes in an instant from speaking in a tone like this to screaming and that's going to have an impact on people. They're going to take that with them. So a number of people we've had, like it's happened to me, JT, one of my co-hosts, he's had where he's asked three questions, had a prosecutor withdraw the charges. People are dumbfounded, and they follow him out, and they're asking questions. They want to know, because like I said, it's very powerful when you go into their arena and start to do this, and they are admitting there's nothing there. Why would a prosecutor withdraw a complaint because somebody walked in off the street with no legal training whatsoever and asked him point blank, is there evidence of a complaining party? And why would the prosecutor just withdraw rather than answer the question? So this gets people thinking, wow, why aren't the experts able to confront this person and shut them down?
You know, that's another thing. And, of course, then you say, here's the card, says markstevens.net, and it's $25. So, you know, but the one thing that you do is that when you go to through this process, are you training the other side to be able to cope with it, you know, just as much? Because I've seen that happen, too. I mean, they're going, man, we'll let this guy go, but we'll get him next time. We're going to go study and ask and do it. And they got their own little forums. They got their own little groups. They got their own, you know, email back and forth. This guy did whatever. In fact, you know, I've seen where people go and lurk on those sites, and they get, this is what the police and what the prosecutors, what the judge, what they're doing. It's kind of this ex parte, you know, forum thing going on, you know, and not to bring up any specific case, but this happened, you know, and I've seen this. People send me emails with this, you know, yeah, look, they're talking about they don't like, and this progresses. So what kind of counter are they coming up with this?
Well, that's the thing. When you use their public relations against them, there is no counter. You either answer the questions so that I can, you know, yeah, I'm supposed to have a right to confront my witnesses. So if they're going to stop a cross-examination because they know the questions I'm going to ask, well, that's great. If you read the scripts that I sell, that's one of the purposes. I don't want to get into a conversation with them unless I can use it for the radio. It doesn't do me any good. So I want this over at the least a number of steps. So if I can ask one question and get the judge to stop the cross because he's heard this all before, oh, those are internet questions, great. Denial of cross-examination is a constitutional error of the first magnitude, and no want or of prejudice could cure it. The more prepared that they are, the worse it actually is for them. Because if they don't want to answer any questions, even at the beginning, and I just want to plead no contest and pay the fine and go home, if they don't want to inform me, I can't defend myself. I've met the objective by having them throw up a roadblock. Fine. Oh, you don't want to inform me? Great. That's less time I got to spend talking to you. So it's got kind of a bill. Hey, throw up the walls here, guys.
How big a case? I mean, you know, I'm sure. You know, it's of course these are criminal cases, especially if you're dealing with drugs. But I'm, you know, people are using your stuff in murder cases. I mean, how far up are they willing to go?
Well, I tend to only work with people who have not initiated physical force. So I would hate to think that somebody would start to use something like that in a murder case.
Well, I mean, you know, he may be innocent.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you know, but the you know, just because they charge you with something don't mean nothing. But
that's true.
You know, so usually you're dealing with offenses that are non-aggression, non-initiations of force.
Those are the easiest ones. Okay. Those are. And however, when you talk about other things where you may be falsely accused, the fact remains that in my experience and from my research and experience goes a lot further. No one has ever been able to prove presence within a state. Ever. I mean, I've done this in court where all the legal stuff is left out and the political stuff is left at the door. This is facts. No one has ever been able to do that, whether it's a witness, which is
do
a cop.
Do what?
Prove the state exists or that there is a state.
Oh, that there is a state. See? Oh, that's what we're going to do when we come back. Is there a... You think about it. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love?
Oh, it's right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and my good friend Mark Stevens, Adventures in Legal Land, which is now it's Mark, M-A-R-C, Stevens.net, and he's got all kinds of goodies there. All the work's done for you. Because a lot of this, I mean, yeah, you know, $25 is better than $25,000. Guarantee freaking tell you that. You go in there and you say he did all this work over all these years, a lot of examples. He has a radio program. He's got a forum, people going in, hey, man, I am in trouble. You have no idea how much... Well, you do. I'm sure you gave you more than me. People going, I'm in the whirlwind, man. Yank me out. I can't deal with it. Help me. And I'm going, you know, how many times do I go, you know what? Look up Mark Stevens, Adventures in Legal Land. Because a lot of times that's all they got to go to. I mean, what else? They're going to, you know, it cost them, you know, heck, you know, $1,000 just to get an attorney to talk to them about what they need to do. You know, this is bad, man. There's an, you know, you got the military industrial complex. Yeah. Well, you got the prison. We going to put you in jail complex. Literally.
Yeah.
So this is, but you want to get rid of it? Yeah. You just keep amping it up. It's going to go away one way or the other. So I'm, you know, financially, I mean, Mark, Victor would tell us, he's like, oh, man, it's amazing. You have any kind of a court action you need or civil litigation or something, you're looking at least a year and a half before you even get on the docket. You know, this is unless they're going to get some money out of you, they amp it up then, you know. So this is very, very, very interesting that you started to go from here, you're challenging the legitimacy of the state to the point that you're going, no state, no state project? What the heck's that all about?
Well, we were talking before about going in and challenging a prosecutor. He claims to represent the state. Well, what better question to ask him than, is there evidence of a complaining party? Let him prove it. Now, it seems like a fairly easy question, and most of the time what will happen is the judge will jump in. If the judge jumps in, most of the time he'll say, well, that's the state of Arizona. And they'll say, whoa, wait a minute, move to strike. That's not responsive to the question. Plus, you're the judge. It's not your place. Once they start and they wrap their mind around what I'm asking for evidence. I'm not asking who it is. I'm asking if there's evidence. Once that sinks in, they start to realize, and for one reason or another, wow, I've never been asked to prove that. And it seems like it's a really easy thing to do, but it's not. And that's why we have a standing $5,000 challenge on my show to anybody who could produce verifiable empirical evidence, facts, to prove the existence of the state. And no one's been able to do it. Taken me up.
How would they even do that, though? The state is what? I mean, they're going to argue, well, it's the officer. The officer saw he represents the state. And then, okay, so what's the state? I mean, you know, this is, so what are you looking for? Is there something that they could say?
Well, yeah, they could say yes, for example, and try to produce some evidence that there's a state.
But like what?
Well, they would have to. A state is political. And that's why on the challenge that I give, I said, look, I'm going to help you out. I'm a nice guy. I'm going to help you out trying to prove the state. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you that the state did not exist. The state of Arizona did not exist prior to February, 14th, 1912. So we know it's not the ground. So that kind of gets the mindset. We're not talking about a geographic area. So that gets you to start thinking. So it's political. Well, what does that mean? Well, we're all told it's a body politic. Well, what's a body politic? Well, a body politic is supposed to be a voluntary association of free citizens. And that's where they start falling into their problems. Because a state legally is the body politic, you know, the citizens with a government and a certain area that they occupy. And so what I did was I noticed years ago that what a citizen was, and this is in the book, of course, and it's on the website, a citizen is a member of the body politic owing a duty of allegiance in return for duty of protection. These are reciprocal obligations, one a consideration for the other. Well, I found these cases, and they're in the book too, and you can go online, you can find these. It turns out that the government legally, we can show economically through the non-aggression principle also, but legally there's no duty to protect anyone. So it all fell.
Society in general, whatever the heck they say that is.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous, because the example that I give is that if you go to an insurance company and your car is hit and say, well, we didn't insure you, but we insured everybody. And you also show how ridiculous that is, Ernie, because when you look at a so-called crime, that if someone is murdered, it's considered an offense against all everyone.
So the state versus
yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
So okay. Why is it that it's individual in the criminal? The individual is then an injury to everybody, but not on the other side when it comes to protection. So it's just ridiculous on its face to say, well, we insure everybody.
Well,
not
I
just
know
you.
Why they say this and do it.
Because they can.
Because they can. That's right. You know, I want to read this. This is the article that I was talking to you about. I haven't read this in years, but this is the gist of it, okay? The other gentleman was making these kind of arguments that you're talking about. He goes, government has a legitimate role of protecting your life, rights, and property. Okay, I mean, you know, you would think that, you know, that's what they're supposed to do.
That's the PR.
You know, exactly. That's the justification. So this is what I write. Hence the elaborate theories about something called a social contract. The difference between a contract and a social contract, of course, is that the former is consented to by both parties, while the latter is imagined by one but binding upon another. Ain't it strange how we've learned to look for a hokum wherever a derivative of the S word comes up? Social Democrat, social justice, social contract, National Socialist Party. The world is filled with strange coincidences. If government is legitimate, merely tell me whence it derives its legitimacy. Social contract is currently fashionable. Now, remember, this is 1994. In the ebb and flow of online political debate, This is a contract I never signed, that I've never seen, that has no terms, that is binding upon me but not upon the other party, that can be dispensed with at will by government but must be submitted to by me upon pain of incarceration, whose terms may change on the fly or even retroactively, from which there is no escape clause, which is binding in perpetuity, which binds my ancestors and descendants, which requires fealty but guarantees no consideration. And it's BS on its face. But that's not the interesting thing. There are 1,000 intricate dodges designed to cover the ass of statism, and refuting one of the lot isn't that fun or that illuminating. At least if you've been working these boards for a while, there will always be another transparent cloak for the emperor to wear. What's interesting is that there are 1,000 cloaks, but there aren't 1,001. Here's the 1,001st, and you'll never hear it from a statist, because they have guns, and if you don't obey, they will shoot you. I'll come clean. I'm not writing to this guy's name. I have no hope of showing him anything, because I think he's determined not to be shown. But for those who aren't solely concerned with building dungeons out of cards, this is useful. Statism can't be justified. I can give you a list of minds bigger than mine who wanted it so badly they were willing to torque their own brains, and a longer list of folks who didn't know any better. Locke, Rousseau, Blackstone, they had a common ancestor, Hugo de Groot, back to Aristotle and all the way to Thales, forward to Rand and even to Nozick, Jefferson, Madison, Marx, Mill. All of you have read some, and some of you have undoubtedly read more than I. None of them said it because all of them are beehive busy trying to find another reason for this. If you don't obey, we'll shoot you. That's not legitimacy. So they had to find another way. Social contract, consent of the governed, probably the most opaque self-contradiction of the millennium, will of the majority, threat of decadence into chaos. Greatest good for the greatest number. Progress. Good of the motherland. Throwing off dominion of the Zog. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If government is legitimate, merely tell me whence it derives its legitimacy. Why does it need so many different justifications? If government is legitimate, why does it need guns? Mathematicians don't need guns. We think they're legitimate. Physicists don't need guns. Biologists don't need guns. Musicians don't need guns. Tool and die makers don't need guns. Copy editors don't need guns. Government needs guns because it isn't legitimate. It cannot persuade you, and it cannot base its appeals in reason, because there cannot be a basis in reason for an appeal to dumb savagery. Then it goes on. But the point is that you're starting, you can see where my mindset is.
That's a good point.
In 1994, I'm going, you know, I get it. I so freaking get it. Okay. My point is that from back then, I haven't changed really hardly any. But I do understand. People need to understand. I don't try and convince them to agree with me. I just want to convince them, you know, or have them understand why I'm so convinced. I get it. I understand. Mark Stevens has been doing great work. And we got another hour, Mark. I got plenty of time. I can talk too. But the thing is that, you know, this is where I want to go with this. Once we prove it, that they're not legitimate, then what? You know, Mark's doing great work on this. He's trying to help people in the process, but he's proven they're not legitimate. I knew this 15 years ago. What have I been doing? How many minds can I free? What happens? I don't know. But we need to know the truth. We know the truth. Then what? I don't know. But you need to know the truth. Uncovering the secrets, exposing lies on freedomsphoenix.com. That's it. Declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. Proper role of government, defense of individual rights, they don't do that, alter, abolish. This is all simple stuff. But you got to think what it really means. And it's coming. It's coming. There's nothing that can stop it. You're going to have to choose a side. I choose the love side. It's all about the love. Non-coercion. Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come back.